Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I was joking all last week. I said, this is with my friends I went to school with, I was telling them, I was like, you know, this is the Auburn dark magic at, you know, Jordan Hare at night versus my lucky baby. And my lucky baby pulled it out. Mm. So I'm going to need her best effort against Green Bay because it's in there. I don't know if it's in there for you, Jason, but it's in there for me. Maybe I'm just a too negative of a fan.
Oh.
But I'm riding high right now. I'm feeling good. Even if they do lose this game, they're 9-4. We're still right in the mix. But I think ultimately, yeah, this comes down to Caleb, man. Caleb has to make the plays to win the game. And it's going to be freezing cold, and it's going to be probably hard to throw the ball. And so, you know, he's got to be able to make the plays. If he makes the plays, then we'll be okay. Because I just don't – if we come out and do what we did to the Eagles back-to-back weeks and just run the ball right down Green Bay's throat, the NFL is on alert.
Better be.
The people will be saying, oh, my God, this team can actually go win a Super Bowl. I don't know if it'll happen, but if it does, I will be on cloud nine, and I'll be so happy. But, yeah, the fear of the Packers still exists. I'll be honest about it. It does still exist in the back of my head.
Understood.
Drew, congrats.
Love you, brother. Congrats again.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Bear down.
Bear down, everybody involved.
Bro, he's got my hands sweating.
Got my hands sweating. We are, dude.
I'm ready to hit, Brad. I'm ready to get out there on the tundra
and hit.
Hit
him. Now, did Jason go to a Bears game this year? You have to ask yourself.
Nope.
He didn't. Will he go to a Bears game next year? You have to ask yourself. Because next year is the year where it's supposed to really take off. Year two of Ben, year three of Caleb. You got the Bruise Brothers with DeAndre Swift and Kaya Manungai.
Love that nickname. Bruce,
you know,
Brothers.
We don't care about Roschon Johnson anymore.
He wears the big hat,
right?
And he's falling behind.
All right, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze,
don't forget
Colton Underwood,
Loveland.
Colston Loveland,
and don't forget Luther Burden
at the three. Not a burden
at the three spot.
There you go. Now he's gonna move up to two after next year because DJ Moore will likely be out, right?
Well, he's the highest-paid receiver. I mean, it could work out that way.
In the league?
No, we've ever had. He's our –
he's only 28.
We went all in on him.
He's young. I thought he was older.
But I could see us moving him, you know, at some point.
He signed a four-year deal for $110 million.
Yeah, highest-paid. I want to say it's the highest-paid contract.
Oh, he's locked up.
Yeah.
He's locked up. He's going to make $23.4 next year, which –
So we don't
I'm
use
be
him
honest,
enough. We don't use him enough anymore for
it's
us
a bad
to warrant what he's making anymore because we're so sweaty. Back to the point, real quick.
Back to the
point. My hands are not sweating because I'm worried like Drew is. There's a little bit of a difference. It's sweating because of the opportunity, much like with the Memphis football program and that coaching spot. But this is why. Because let me tell you, and I think you would agree with this. Green Bay, all the pressure is on them. They are the ones that are all in. They are the ones that have been here against teams like the Bears and need to push them back, right? Need to get over the hump, whether it's here, division, whether it's playoffs. And they're the ones that are all in on Love. They've paid him and all in terms of making the Micah Parsons trade. They're the ones that Ben Johnson said in his press conference, hey, man, I used to beat Matt LaFleur twice a year with, you know, when I was with the Lions, and I'm looking forward to doing it with the Bears. When you get called out like that, the pressure is on the coach. It's on Green Bay. They're at a different point than the Bears in terms of timelines. They're all in. Pressure's all on them.
Yep.
This is not to say, hey, free swing, because you got an opportunity. You're 9-3.
Facts.
You know, we don't play that stuff in the NFL. You got a real opportunity here. Like Drew says, you put up together back-to-back wins at Philly, at Green Bay, NFL's going to be talking about you in a different way. But believe me, it better be Green Bay.
Better be
They're Green Bay. The ones that are all in here. They're the ones that have got way more on the line. Remember, they've paid their quarterback. And I'm telling you right now, LaFleur comes up empty this year. They disappoint in the playoffs again. I think it's going to be his head that rolls.
Yep.
Because they're all in. You can't change personnel.
Yep.
This point.
Yep, absolutely.
Not much.
Exciting. Really exciting stuff in Chicago.
Got a good one tonight. Well, like we talked about, Dallas, Detroit.
A big one.
NFL's getting good.
The big one. The biggest bargain in fun.
Yeah, but it's not like you don't have to sell it like that this time. This one's real. Al's going to be hype on this one.
Al's going to be awake, and he's going to be ready for this game tonight. Detroit hosting the Cowboys.
Teams like Detroit and KC with their backs against the wall already. That's what it is. It's going to be a great finish to the season.
Yeah, it is. It surely is. Will the same be true of Memphis basketball?
We're going to have to discuss.
Well, we're also going to have to discuss, like, what is going to have to happen, because I do think there's a little bit of a disconnect between what people are saying will happen and what that means. We'll get into it when we get back. Stick around. J&J, 99 FM ESPN. Welcome back, J&J, 99 FM ESPN. We will be awaiting the blue and silver smoke, as Reese Davids would say, but it's not silver. It's gray. It's blue and gray. But we forgive him, don't we? That's what God would want. He would want us to forgive Reese for that faux pas. There are a lot of people that are very proud of those colors. And never in the history of the University of Memphis was silver a part of them. It's gray. So we'll await the blue and gray smoke coming out of Ed Scott's office.
Get it right.
I don't think you'll get it, though, before this weekend.
We're all watching.
Do not text Jason or tweet him tomorrow from 6 to 8.
The championship.
Maybe game. 9. I did show you, though, some Amari Odom.
John's had me watching film in the breaks of our next quarterback, Amari Odom.
And Jason was fixated on another skill position player who Jerry Mack will not be bringing.
Why not?
He's a senior. And he's like,
he
played in COVID. He played in the COVID year. So he's way out of eligibility.
Man, he was super fast. That's all right. I saw the next, as I said it, so no one else steals it from me first, Byron Brown.
There you go. I like it.
And Amari Odom.
And we're saying that because he's a black quarterback the American.
No, that was completely about skill. Most quarterbacks you'll find are black these days, depending upon where you look. And again, what's going on in New Orleans, you know?
Yeah.
Whether they're starting Shuck or Spencer Rattler. Like, that plays into
it. It's Shuck.
Because I think we went in 50-50 or right around there. And when we started with Rattler, we had the advantage.
You know, look,
Majority.
It's been a, I don't want to
so
say
we don't just make comparison. Contention. It's not like, there's been no black quarterback since Doug Williams, John. And that's the only comparison I can make. You understand?
Yeah, but y'all act like there ain't been a white quarterback since Flutie.
White quarterbacks everywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's.
Now, right now, what I would give you, because I know you need it, I can tell. You're getting real defensive.
We got the best one. You're exactly right.
Y'all having a year. You are having a take it back year, aren't you?
Yep.
And Brad's nodding. He's in, and you can't. If you're white, you're probably nodding right there. It does feel like the guys at the top right now, who is it? Drake May, Stafford. It's a resurgence.
Baker Mayfield at one point. Josh Allen is back. So
y'all saw that graphic to start the season, and you said, no, hold my beer.
And then next year, coming out of this draft, who is it? It's like Fernando Mendoza. It's Ty Simpson. Y'all will bring Lenore Sellers to the table. And I think that's basically it.
Don't make it a race war. I'll say y'all.
No, it's not a race war. I will say Drake
he said
May.
Y'all. John drew his line right there when he said y'all,
I mean,
didn't
I'm
he?
White, dude.
You did, but you drew it.
I mean, there is a line. I mean, we have to. I think we owe it, right, to history to draw that line. That doesn't mean we can't, fraternize and cross it. We often do, right? It happens all the
time.
There
are people that take you literally when they listen to this radio show, John.
They should. It's a very serious show.
Did y'all enjoy having Brendan Lewis and what he brought to the table?
Yes.
I did, but I would I wanted him to exit two games earlier.
We know why. You want to see about the future. My point is the dynamic he brought, fool.
He broke barriers.
We loved Seth, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We loved the dual threat.
I actually liked the second guy more. I liked Brendan more, and I liked watching him more.
He had to win Brad over. He remember.
He did.
He had to win Brad over because Brad did not like him.
Turns out he's a winner.
No, Seth was a different.
Dude,
it was a different type of quarterback.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So again, Amari Odom.
I think about that damn clap. That's what I think about with Seth Henning and that damn clap.
Now Seth has not made an NFL roster and had every opportunity to.
I think he's on a practice squad, isn't he? Or he's not?
Is he not?
No, was he Miami or Jacksonville?
He at one point he was on the Jacksonville practice squad. I don't know if he's still there. But you know,
Jags. Yeah, I guess Jags got him on the spot.
He was released though on September 29th.
I'm sorry, Seth.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah,
I was actually explaining this to my brother. Being on an NFL practice squad is amazing.
We talked about it when he made it.
I've heard
the money that he makes and everything
else.
But the problem is that you can't make a living being on a practice squad, right? Because what happens is you could do it for a year, and then they just bring in younger, faster, better, you know, players the next year. You don't get to just say, what do you do for a living? Oh, man, I'm an NFL practice squad guy. Yeah. No, you're not. Unless you're a quarterback, right? Like, you could be a practice squad quarterback, but even then, they at some point will get the data that they need about you, and they will move on one way or the other. Either you get promoted to the active roster or somebody else picks you up. But you're not just going to languish on the practice squad for 8 years.
Hennigan career prediction. He'll end up in Fayetteville doing something on that staff.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, he could be a coach, right? Some kind of analyst or something like that. I'm sure Silverfield will give him some kind of opportunity if he wants it. Like his dad is a coach.
Is a coach, Denton or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense that he would do that. But, I don't want to stoke the fire of the race war. There's no doubt about that. But I also, there are certain things to protect. And we've had... some things we've held very dear, things have shifted.
Yeah. We're a little broke up right now. Lamar ain't right.
That's right. Lamar's not right.
The guy that's usually at the top.
Let's do this show in 15 years when the defensive back position is being threatened, right? If we ever do that, if we ever make that charge, how will you feel about that? You will not like that. You will not enjoy that. Like, what's happened to this position?
What white corner was I just watching?
Oh, it's Cooper.
DeGene.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up.
Yeah. You got to say it like
that. I'm kidding. Stop it. I'm kidding.
They got a Blankenship as well. I think he's more of a safety type. Everybody just
Again,
thinks,
when you have a front line like them, it makes everybody a step quicker.
That
and
is
it
true.
Makes you
that is
two
very,
steps quicker.
That is 100% true. That is 100%
If you
true.
Catch my drift.
And Brad says I'm the one that's stoking the flame here,
we're just having a little fun.
No, we got to be able to have.
As we await the smoke.
We got to be
Isn't
able
that
to,
where we started?
That's right. And we started.
Always bring it back home.
With Amari Odom and the comparison to Byron Brown. 6'4", 205. Again, that was the game I actually happened to be watching. That's why I showed you those highlights.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude's got an arm. He's throwing cross body on the money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven.
fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Money, like he's the real deal, Amari Odom is. So, again, if that's part of the discussion, I think it would have to be if you're Jerry Mack. I'll just say this on the front end.
I really wish that game was tonight and we could come in here and talk and mull it over tomorrow.
The game of the century.
Right?
Dear Lord.
I really wish the game was tonight rather than tomorrow.
Right.
because this is decided.
He better blow
this feels like it's decided.
Yes. And
I don't know that it's decided. I don't know.
Well, the timing on it feels like it's decided. And I would make the point, you're not waiting to interview him until after the game. You've already done that. You're waiting because you've made the decision it's him.
Right.
Otherwise, why not get this done and get moving?
I think that's what logic would tell you.
And I'm a logic guy, and sometimes too square with that stuff. And you miss.
That's right.
Ed might have something up his sleeve. My boy Dan Mullen.
I mean, because I'll say this. When I don't remember a lot about the last Memphis football coaching search. I do remember that Mike Norvell's name came out of nowhere. Like, it was not like you heard a lot about I don't even remember who the candidates were in 2016, to be quite honest.
How did it come out of nowhere when he was, like, the highest-paid OC in the country?
It was a random – there wasn't, like, a regional tie,
No, in some way I remember it being, that vibe you're talking about. But
I think
trying to go back and remember.
I don't remember in 2016.
Surely somebody had said, if they're going to look at hot OCs, then, this
right.
highly paid one. Yeah. Up Arizona State.
I want to say that Barry Odom was the name that everybody was talking about.
In
the last search.
Well, in the 2016 search as well.
Well, both of them.
Yeah, because he actually ended up getting the Missouri job that cycle, but before he got the Missouri job,
that's right.
He was. I think he was the most popular candidate because he had been the defensive coordinator here.
And
I remember a lot of folks liked Odom.
Yeah, so. then the Missouri job, I think, came open, and then he took that one, and then it was, on to the next.
But Arizona State at the time had Todd Graham, and I remember them rolling, and people loved that offense.
Yes, it was Todd Graham.
And Todd got fired eventually, but at that time, Norvell was tearing it up.
But it wasn't like, I'm going way, way back now, but it just wasn't, he wasn't a guy that was talked about in Memphis.
Yeah, it kind of flew in. You're right.
Yeah, like he was.
I get it.
It was an easy sell because he was one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in America, but it just wasn't like, there wasn't a tie. There was a tie with Barry. And so I think everybody was kind of just focused on that. And
people got pumped when they heard Norvell, though, because he started flying helicopters at Christian Brothers and doing stuff. And like people were getting fired up.
Well, he did a good job.
He did a really good job. If they could get Mullen, I'd be.
Holistically. All right. Holistically, he did a great job. But I have put off Memphis basketball long enough. Let's do the rundown. Let's start with the good. Memphis basketball covers. They get the job done last night against New Orleans. Yeah, they kept saying that this is the biggest New Orleans team, one of the biggest teams in Division I. Just watching on TV, and I wasn't there. It didn't seem like that team was big at all. It felt like Memphis's pressure was really bothering them just from the beginning of the game. They were up 20 at the half. And really, I feel like could have picked the number here. And this is with, by the way, Memphis basketball not having Curtis Givens and Ashton Hardaway. Sincere Parker came in questionable. Aaron Bradshaw did not play. And then Thierno Silla only played 2 minutes. So Memphis was, it was pretty shorthanded. And Pennyak said it was a good thing because it shortened the rotation. So there you have it. Thadford started the game on fire, and then he unfortunately left
He had 13 points in 10 minutes. I mean, he was just doing these folks in.
Yeah, he was.
Before he got
hurt. First four shots, something like that.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he could have come back. They just, you know, decided not to risk it.
Good.
So Memphis wins 86-70. They're now 3-4 on the season. I believe they jumped 14 spots in the net as a result of
Useful.
The win. Yes,
Useful.
It's certainly, we'll certainly take that. They were 160 going in, and as of today, let me make sure they haven't moved any more. They maybe have moved even more than that. Yeah, no, they're still 146. So they jumped 14 spots after the win.
Double digit wins are good.
Double digit wins are certainly good. It beats the alternative. You know, New Orleans was a team that beat TCU. They beat Tulane. How they did it, I don't know. They look bad to me. Obviously, they're supposed to be bad. They're New Orleans. They don't have any money until Master P showed up. So he's going to need to put some more money into it, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's where I'm at with it. But Memphis wins, and now it sets up a very, very big game against Baylor on Saturday, 3:30 on CBS. That'll be available locally on Channel 3 for those who don't know. But there's it feels like a bigger conversation maybe to be had right now about Memphis, and that is. And again, I wasn't there last night, so you know, maybe I'm part of the problem. But the crowd last night, you got the pictures. I got pictures sent to me about the crowd last night. Obviously, Wednesday night against a lowly opponent, team's not performing very well anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like just one of the sparsest crowds they've had, non-weather related, that I can remember under Penny Hardaway. There have been some bad weather related, and I get people. And I give Memphis grace for that because if the weather is bad, the weather is bad. People don't want to get out in that. But it was a night, frankly, that no Grizzlies, right? I mean, I know it's a lowly opponent, but there's not a lot else going on. And they announced the lowest attendance in the Penny Hardaway era, non-COVID related,
mm-hmm.
9,123. Believe it or not, even that South Florida game that was impacted by the ice and everything, which they, you know, they blew a 20-point lead or whatever.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
That attendance was higher, 10,531. Now, we know that actual butts and seats is never this. We know it wasn't 10,531 against South Florida. We know it wasn't 9,123 last night. But it absolutely feels like this thing in terms of attendance is going the wrong way. Now, it's not nearly as bad as the Tubby Smith. I think people will be shocked when they go back and look at the announced attendance numbers from the Tubby Smith era. Those were consistently in the 5,000 to 7,000 range. I mean, just and again, that's announced. So mm-hmm. you have to, and those are tickets sold. Whatever you want to say, we know those games were getting like 2,000 to 3,000 max, like in terms of going. So we're not in Tubby Smith territory, Jason, but it does worry me a lot. Not for Saturday. Saturday will have a above 10,000 crowd. Not against Vandy. Not against these. But it worries me for January through March when we know American play starts, and that's when the crowds tend to kind of drop off from whatever the level is. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I mean it's you know when folks have tickets and they're not showing up, it can also and we know it be symbolic of folks saying. You know, speaking with their lack of presence,
yep.
obviously.
Yep.
You know, whether that's about Penny or the nature of college basketball and everything else, team flipped 15 new guys, got to learn them, all that stuff. And
yep.
You get off to a bad start, let's be real, too. You come back from, you know, you lose that game to UNLV. You don't pick up one you should have. You should have come back 1-1 from the Bahamas against Wake Forest there. Having Doug miss the free throw, you didn't do that. And so, you know, it's you're a disappointing start. You got a multitude of factors that contribute to it. But it's a problem for the university. I'm not going to sit up here and put lipstick on it. You know, that was the case. And it, you know, math and lack of butts and seats became the reason why you had to swallow, you know, a $10 million buyout, essentially, for Tubby Smith, because it can't go that way. Now, a couple things have changed. I would say back then, too, with Tubby Smith, basketball's still the forefront. That's why you were willing to pay him $3 million to come here off top. And times have changed. Football needs to be at the forefront now. And while that is the case, still what you can't have is a dying product.
Exactly.
Right? Even if it's not at the front of the chessboard anymore.
It's a balance.
You cannot have a dying product that people are checked out on.
Exactly.
And especially one that's been – let's be real. I mean, just as important to that athletic department as Memphis has. And so you can't just let that thing sit there and wither on a vine, is my point.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a problem.
It's a big problem.
I don't think you fix it this year. Part of this is that nobody wants to go down there, to your point, and see American Conference basketball. I think Memphis basketball, unfortunately, has a problem Memphis football doesn't have with its conference. Nobody, you know, you win the American in football, there's a chance you're going to be in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Right? You win the American in basketball, don't mean a hill of beans most anything. Season. Unless you went 10-3 in your non-con, right, which was more important. Oh, we'll give you a 5 seed. But that's the point.
Exactly. Can I just stop you and make a point real quick,
please,
there?
Please.
Because people keep saying Memphis will win the American. Memphis will win the American. Memphis will win the American.
And get in the tournament.
That does not guarantee that. It does not guarantee that at all. Winning the American does not mean you are getting, and I'm talking about regular season.
Yeah.
It does not. In fact, South Florida did that 2 years ago and was left out. They weren't even on the bubble, and they did, because they didn't beat anybody in the non-conference,
right,
which, by the way, neither has Memphis. Unless and until they do, Memphis is going to find itself in the same situation as South Florida. Even if they win the American, being left out of the tournament unless they do something in these next 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, again, that can happen. Where are we going to be if it does with Penny Hardaway?
That's a great question.
You know,
and I think it's starting to become something to think about. I mean, again, we'll let the season play out. If they make the tournament, if they somehow find a way to win a couple of these games.
Winning the conference, to me, has always meant you better win your tournament. Now, though, you have to, is the point that you're making.
Exactly.
That's what it looks like is going to happen. You don't have a 10-3 on your hands in terms of the non-con. You've already lost to UNLV, dropped two in the Bahamas.
Yep.
And, you know, you could be staring, even as the automatic qualifier, a double-digit seed rather than the 8 or 9 that you usually
it'll be a first-round exit. You'll squeak into the tournament. It's not going to fundamentally change the view of Memphis basketball from fans.
So back by the point, my point on that, where we were, is that you have an understanding of that from the fan base. Like, there's, how do I get excited about that? My point is, you're talking about, in the end, you're asking about fixing this. I don't know that it can be fixed in the way you're thinking about until this thing is out of this conference.
Well, I agree with that.
You will never
have
15-18 down there again.
Totally agree.
With this situation right now in this conference for basketball.
I totally agree.
And you don't get out of this conference putting basketball at the forefront. That's been your history, and it hasn't worked.
Yep.
Again, back to the point why you have to shift. That does not mean ignore basketball.
Right.
This is a problem. The attendance level, Ed Scott's got to be.
Yep.
I mean, Penny, what's the plan? There has to be some urgency.
They depend on the money from that building.
Believe me, I fully understand it. Again, I continue to question how much does Penny Wheeler want this.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the other thing about it, man. I mean, you see it right now. Their folks want him out at this minute. Oh, you got the football coach. Now you're blessed. Now get a new basketball coach.
We're not doing that.
And if attendance continues to go down and you have underperforming seasons, that's only going to get worse for, again, a hometown hero.
Correct.
Who at one point during his career here, during his tenure,
felt
offended by the heat and everything else. Again, and I can understand it. Again, human nature, putting ourselves in Penny's shoes.
That's right.
Man's done everything right for his whole career. He's been a favorite son of Memphis.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you tell him he can't coach. You know, I felt personally attacked. We could get back to that territory because y'all know what Memphis does. It will continue to eat and eat and eat and criticize. Is that worth it to him?
Mm-hmm.
That tarnishing, potentially, of his reputation here in his own town if it continues to go this route.
Right.
Now, he got to win, man. And the bottom line is that.
Well, team's 3-4. I mean, they're under 500. That's the first place you have to start.
You lost to UNLV. You have to make it up
on
Saturday with a game against a Baylor team that, yes, has all the you know, in terms of the analytics, all the reason to run you off the floor according to that, but they're new. Like, there's an opportunity there. You know, they're still trying to figure out who their guys are and everything else. I know they've beaten Creighton. They've done a lot more than you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that said, they return zero minutes.
They're a tournament team. That's what I would say about them. That's about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you need to beat a tournament team on your home court. Especially when you're trying to make up for UNLV and not getting the Wake Forest win.
Ken Pom's got it 80-77 Baylor. I mean, so that's you know, you're a 42%, you know, based on Ken Pom's analytics, you're 42%. You gotta find a way to win that one. I mean, that's the best chance, that honestly, because Vandy is unbelievable.
right? Like Vandy is a different class. They're, I think, I don't even think people realize that Vandy is a top seven team at KenPom. Like they are, they're coming in here, and you know, you can look at it and you can say it's Vandy.
Yep.
But I don't know if I would necessarily circle that one. They're six at Torvik. They're seven at KenPom. That's going to be tough. It's Baylor for me, and it's at Mississippi State. Of the four, those feel like the ones that you can get. Because I think Louisville's going to look at Memphis like a relief. They lost last night to Indiana, and right. Then they play somebody. I think it's another ranked team they play. They lost to Minnesota, then they play Indiana. I'm botching this. Sorry. Louisville just lost last night to Arkansas.
I was going
to
say.
Then they play
Richmond
Indiana on Saturday, and then they play you the week after. So what I'm saying is, they're going to look at you like a sigh of relief from the kind of caliber teams they've been seeing, you know, the last couple of weeks. So I don't think at Louisville is the one. But I think listen, to your point, it is a multitude of issues. I think you have to start with the fact that this team's 3-4. They're not good right now. Can they be good at the end of the season? It's possible. I don't know if I would bet on it, but it's possible. They'll be good relative to their conference, and I think that's a good place to start. What does that mean for attendance, though? Like, is that enough for people in terms of attendance? Obviously, it is not, because Memphis won 29 games last year. They were a 5 seed, and it didn't make an impact, you know?
Yeah. But attendance has been going down.
It has. It has.
For a while.
Across
they haven't been getting the full
well.
Payout. You know, I know there's a renewed.
Right.
Yeah. What do they do? Rework the lease agreement between the
right.
two.
Right.
But you could be looking at less than 6,000 actual turnstile count on average this year, which used to be that number if
yes.
you fell below no payout.
Yes.
They've had to have factored that in as they shift for a while
oh,
now.
I agree with that.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah. That's not to say you don't have a problem on your hands.
Right.
But. You know, they've seen this coming for a while, probably. I mean, to see Penny walk out there last night
yeah.
in some of those videos and just how sparse it was.
Absolutely.
You know, one hand here, one hand there, high-fiving. Just when I think about him, and Penny used to sort of, back when I covered it, and maybe this is too much, but whether or not Penny was sitting at the game when he was the ambassador was sort of a gauge of how big the game was.
Yep.
And the place be full, but Penny be sitting there in front row as an ambassador donor, right? I mean, the guy that... You know, like we said, favorite son and everything else, but also as an important part of this program. And you used to, you know, whether or not Penny, this team was performing well or not, you know, him sitting there, him sort of being the barometer, big games, everything. It made me question whether Penny the ambassador would have been there last night watching.
That's a very, very, very
And what he would have thought of where it is now, watching himself, Penny the coach this thing and seeing where it is now.
Yep.
So few folks down there.
Yep.
You said announced 9,000, one of his lowest in terms of
lowest ever.
Lowest ever for
non-COVID.
Him. Non-COVID. And non-COVID
regular
announced.
Season, yeah.
We know it's even fewer than that because of right. butts in seats. What would Penny the ambassador, who used to be the gauge,
yep.
would he have even gone down there last night?
No doubt. No, he
probably
would
not probably not. And so that's got to if that's not a gauge
right.
of things, I don't know what is because
yes.
that's the And you know, that's why I always said if you go this route, this was the concern.
No question. Because
everybody said, well, don't you know what? If it's going to be special, you don't worry about the end.
That's right.
I remember Jeff kind of talking to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We kind of talked it through. You did too.
Yep.
Hey, you don't worry about that. You go ahead and take it. But bro, we are approaching that territory.
Oh, well, we're approaching
here.
It.
I mean, we're in the neighbor. We're
well,
in the zip code
what,
for
what,
sure.
What I would say is like, if Memphis misses the tournament, it's decision time. Right, like it just is.
Yes, I mean, unfortunately, we'll have to be.
Yes,
but I think decision time for Penny.
Oh, that too.
Going
I mean,
back to
yes.
the point about the ambassador, because what
decisions
can,
for everybody.
What can happen here is you still want the gig, but it's time for you to leave.
Well,
he's got to under.
I worry about
that.
I worry about it because I do think like his pride will kick in, and he will say, "I promised that I was going to do this. I promised Memphis that I was
now,
going to lead this team back to the glory days."
I will just say, and we're saying that this is realistic, but he is. Handcuffed in a sense, you've talked about it, you've chronicled it. You're going to give him $4 to $5 million. Who's going to?
I agree with that. I agree
who's going to do great?
I agree
with a
that.
Roster that's $4 to $5 million.
Yep.
Against most nights, right? Certainly in the non-con, rosters of $8 to $22 million.
Yep.
Who's going to come in here and run in here and say, "Oh, I got that," and
well,
go and go run it to the Sweet 16
well,
and national championships?
Let me ask this.
Please do,
because I think this has become a labor-intensive job. What if?
a reset button was hit. And a, like, because Penny, I think, and I understand this, I'm not blaming him for this, but I think Penny has always been of the mind, and he, I think he's gotten better about this over the years, but I think for a long time it was like, I'm Penny, you give me money because I am Penny. Right? And it's less beating down the doors, beating the, you know, hitting the streets, right? I think this job, as we see with the attendance last night, has become, we got to go back to the days of Larry Fitch driving the Isuzu around Memphis to get people reengaged back in this program. And is Penny is it in his DNA?
No, that's a fair point.
Being who he is, to do that, and I think the answer to that is no. Like, I don't think that's he's you know, he doesn't need the money. He's a legend. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do that. I don't think he feels like he has to do it. People should come to see me because I'm Penny, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the part.
Unfortunately, it's about your product now.
It totally is.
When you're in year eight, your point. When we started this, it was about supporting
Penny.
Him.
And people did.
And fixing
and
this.
People did.
Right.
And now they're like, hey, this is year eight. You haven't won more than one tournament game. You know, and again, these are just the
times have changed.
And times have absolutely changed.
I mean, so have resources, clearly.
You used to have the biggest budget. Now you have a middling budget at best, right? I mean, so
That's part of it, too.
But okay, how do you turn that middling budget into a bigger budget, right? You have to get people wanting to be involved again. And I think that is the place where
you're doing it at a time where you're trying to pour things into football, too.
That's exactly right. You're
trying to get people excited about basketball and pump more
into it when
the speeches have been, dude, we got to maximize on this football side.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have a 100 boosters here that
you can
keep going to.
That's
what we've always said about Memphis. It's a select group.
That's right.
How can you continue to ask for more and more and more? Point is, they're stuck, bro.
They're in a bad spot.
Again, maybe that pumps back up if you're in the Big East.
Oh, it will.
Or you're in the power structure.
It would.
People get excited and they're willing to throw that money in.
Yes.
When they saw it last year, again, it got them a five. But in the end, you don't even get the tournament win out of it.
That's right.
Maybe it would take some guy that's just going to come in here and work with less.
Yes.
And still.
That's right.
But I don't know that you'll have that you can get the pouring into like you're talking about.
You may not be able to.
Even with
you
another
may not
coach.
Be able to.
But at some point, you will have to try. You will have to try.
That's the thing.
Letting it die on
that's
the vine.
Thing.
That's where we're, yes, yes.
And it's, look.
They cannot miss the tournament, bro. It'd be in such a bad space that, yes, these conversations would have to be had and have to be had in a serious manner.
And I think, let's say this. Let's say they make the tournament, right? Yeah. Let's say that attendance continues to kind of be bad, but they make the tournament.
Right.
So then what's the conversation? Then I think the conversation is, like, what are we doing with Memphis basketball, right?
Well.
That I think they have to decide, and you're right. Like, I'm not asking to take away from football, but, like, something has to give here because, obviously, just making the tournament is not going to fix the attendance problem down there. It's just not. I mean, people aren't moved by it. I mean, I wish they were. I wish it was good enough to make the tournament because in my mind it is based on their budget and you know, things like that. But
yes.
I'm not a season ticket holder, and I'm really not the person that they're depending on to be down there. So I do think, like, what do you do if it's like – it's not the – it's kind of easy in a way if they miss the tournament. Like, not easy, but it's like it's kind of streamlined for you. It's like we have to do something. And there's only one thing we can really do, right? We can't get into another league. We can't. There's only one choice we can make. But what if it's kind of like the in-between, where it's like you make the tournament, you win the American Conference, but it doesn't solve the – you know, that's the part I don't know. You know, I don't think you can fire Penny, and I don't think you would fire Penny after that if they make the tournament because there's still value in that, and he's still obviously doing a good enough job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'd have to say, like, are we putting more money into this? Are we, you know – are we going for it again? I mean, I at some point you got to give the guy a chance. So I don't know. I think it's a really tough conversation. I think absolutely the rules of the game changed on Penny. There's no doubt about that. So I definitely do. I sympathize in many ways. I think
it's a much harder job.
Yeah, it's a way harder job because here's the other part.
What's happened with revenue sharing and what these folks are spending on basketball rosters now?
That's exactly right. I think football is football. People love going to football games. They love the experience of going to football games. It's a totally different, game day deal. They tailgate, they drink, they do all, it's just a different, people, we love football in America.
Mm.
It's the most popular sport. Basketball is not the most popular sport. And so that you have that, I do think people are turned off by the transfer portal. That hits college basketball way harder than it does in football.
Right.
Because you don't even really know the players in football that much. You know the quarterback, you know, maybe a receiver or something. You know, so I think that hurts. Mm-hmm. So it all weighs in. It all goes into it. So I don't think any solution is obvious.
But you've agreed that with the program's expectations historically, Sweet 16, mm-hmm. national championship appearances, that the price of that now,
totally,
you've been priced out. So that would mean a changing of,
I think,
fan
so.
Expectations.
Yes.
Media, I've heard you and Jeff talking about this. Don't the media expectations now, we said Sweet 16, if you've only got 4 to 5 million, everybody right. else got 8 to 22.
Well, yes.
How can we still have Sweet 16?
I don't.
Don't times have to change?
That's absolutely. What
you have to update your priors in the way it's covered.
And, I mean, you're going to have to start paying me your royalty on that phrase, how you enjoy it or not. If you keep using it, man.
Until you are in another conference.
Yeah. No, I say tournament every year is good enough. Like, if you make the tournament annually, it's good enough.
It has to be lowered when your spot has been lowered just in terms of just out of finances and everything else and this landscape of college athletics. And, you can't spend what the SEC is spending on these rosters.
You just can't.
You can't go ask for that.
Yes.
From donors. So that's what I'm saying. And even more importantly, why you have to, focus on, man, because that's the thing. You can get some of this back if you are in
a
big boy
back
conference.
Well,
people
you'd have
will
more
be
money.
So relieved.
You'd have more money.
The money's going to help you off top. I mean, my gosh, it's going to be like turning the shower.
Because the Big East television deal would be more lucrative for basketball than it would be in the American. But even these A-10 teams that don't have football, right?
But how do you really address it in that time before the realignment stuff? In these the same 3 to 5 year window we've used?
I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make that choice.
Do your best. So it's going to be whether or not Penny or some young guy that says, you know what? Yeah, that looks hard, but I'll go do it. I'll go get him to a sweet seat.
I think Memphis could hire a coach, but in terms of if you're saying in this stipulation that they're still winning the American and going to the tournament, the American Conference tournament, and they're still going every year, I think you just kind of bide your time and just hope that you find a life raft.
It's just, are you fixing Memphis basketball with a coach, or are you fixing it with a conference change?
Well,
led by football.
I would rather fix it with a conference.
It needs to be the latter.
But if I can't get into a new conference, I mean, what do I do? I can't move out of. I mean, I think that building is an albatross on the program at this point. You know, you're playing in front of it looks like a cave.
Mm-hmm. You're getting out of it.
You know, I mean, so I think the number right for any college basketball team in 2025 is 10. You know, that's the right number for a venue. Just around the cut, like Duke's is 9,000-10,000, and that's perfectly fine. Like, you never hear people say, man, this needs to be bigger than 9 or 10, because it's an experience when you go and it's fun and it's all that. I think Louisville's is pretty big, but Louisville is a one team town, that's all they have.
What we used to be.
And when it was really all Memphis had, it used to be 18,000 in there.
Yeah.
But now we got more things to do. We got the Grizzlies. Mm.
The Tigers are no longer the city's professional franchise. That's what they were.
We got that soccer team that's coming that I know you're excited about.
Yep.
And that's going to play on your golf course out there in Cordova.
Make sure they sign Kissadoo.
The who?
Kissadoo.
Who is that?
He's one of the players from 901 FC.
Okay.
Kissadoo.
All right. Well,
exciting player for them.
I think we officially fixed Memphis basketball today, didn't we?
We didn't.
Just get to the Big East. Otherwise, I mean, them crowds in the American, bro.
When are you going to get it through your thick skull that the Big East don't want you?
I'll never
get it. You think you're going to have 2 years of making the Sweet 16, the Big East going to say, oh, yeah, now we want you? They don't want you, bro. They look at you the same way the Big 12
does. Their league is bad. Creighton's out of the tournament. They have like three teams right now in the NCAA tournament.
Why wouldn't they wait on the big blow up? Why are they going to add Memphis now?
Who would they get, though?
You get the aftermath. I'm just saying. They said tectonic is what this shift has been talked about, and you're waiting to see until then. You're going to make a move before then?
I don't think any of those programs that would be implicated in that blow-up would be willing to split, though. I don't think they'd be willing to put – Memphis, obviously, is so desperate that they would.
I don't know if there is any. I mean, maybe there is, but would their basketball program be better than Memphis's historically?
I think with its desperation, if the Big East really thought that you're going to add something, they would have already taken you in. Ed Scott's talked to them folks. Ain't picking up the phone.
Well, and the problem is, I mean, like, okay, yeah, you're a tournament team in the American. You probably wouldn't be in a perennial tournament team.
Not on $4 to $5 million
in the Big East.
But even if you got to the Big East, maybe you could get it to 10. Maybe
you could argue if you're sitting me down with the Big East commissioner, I would make this case. I would say, listen. Don't even worry about this year. We got outgunned by everybody. But the year before revenue share kicked in and when 4.5 to 5 million was near the top of America, look what we did. We were 10-3
right.
with a brand new team. We ran through the conference. We were a 5 seed. We would have won against Colorado State had we not lost our top 2 point guards, right? Thanks to some self-sabotage from he who shall not be named on the show, even though he did get a reference yesterday, amazingly, still. I would say look at what we did last year when our budget compared. Don't look at this year. Our budget doesn't compare. You know, look at last year. I think that's a compelling case. And maybe that's not enough because there's political things going on and we know that, but I think the Big East needs some depth. I mean, they need some, you know.
Oh, it's always been real easy validity. To see it from our side, bro.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think they look at it like, hey.
You had people like Patino, you know, campaigning for you. I'm falling, still ain't getting.
He's moved on to campaigning for Dayton now.
Yeah, because he knows we're hopeless in terms of trying to get us up there.
Yeah,
his peers won't take us.
Well, I mean, it's a real weird spot for Memphis basketball right now. That I mean, while it may not be number one anymore, it still does matter.
And it matters.
And what do you do? When, you know, you have to make a difficult decision involving an icon, potentially. Now, if he makes a tournament, it's not really a decision. Then you got to think about, do we put more in it? Do we just kind of roll it like this? So I think that's really the harder one.
But it matters less than it did when he was hired because of football.
It does. You guys are really pushing this football propaganda on me.
It's not propaganda. You're bought in because you know it to be the truth.
Well, that's what y'all tell me. So
the higher ceiling is on football right now, and you have to be ready for 2030.
Right.
You agree with those points?
I mean, football is the most popular sport in America. That's just the undeniable truth.
Bro, look out there on that Thanksgiving Day against Navy. Right. I mean, wasn't it cold out there too?
Yeah.
You out the race.
I like
them
football.
Them folks were out there rabid wanting to beat Navy.
I like football, Jason. You know.
You got no juice downtown at the Forum.
Well,
zero juice.
The team's 3-4, man. What if the team was 7-0?
They're still in it. Okay? They ain't played the American schedule yet.
Technically,
there were 20-something thousand out there. Out of it.
Mathematically.
You telling me where the greater ceiling is and where the potential is. Look, if you get the right coach in there. Don't mess this up.
No, I mean.
Don't mess this up. Ed, Bill, Hargrave, you guys.
I agree.
All of us. We going to still be living here. That's still going to be our university when Hargrave and Ed Scott have moved on. This is a crossroads for us.
It is.
You understand what I'm saying?
But with that being said, and you said it.
Cannot miss it.
That program downtown that plays downtown is too proud to let die. And that feels like what is happening
right now. Well, times have changed again. You built the Forum on the fact that you had a professional team in town and the top Memphis Tigers, right? And what you said is, we'll fill it up eventually with the Grizzlies. But that was the advantage that you had was somebody that could come in there and fill it up on most nights because where Tigers basketball was getting to.
That's right.
And so, but now you've laid it out. College basketball has changed too much.
I don't even think if the Grizzlies if they were a lottery team for 4 years in a row, I still don't think it would matter to Memphis basketball attendance because of that league.
Again, this is why we must get in the larger conference to have the money to build a new place for basketball.
Right.
Because eventually you will have to. This is not sustainable.
Yeah.
To continue to get nothing out of the least the Grizz. And you're
I mean, because it's costing cost. Them. They said last night they didn't even open like parts of the terrace level.
But again, some of that is, yes, you're losing. You haven't done enough. But a lot of that's just the times. Times change.
Times do change.
And you have to change. Eventually, that has to be the future.
Yes.
Because I don't think you're ever filling up that building again. There might be seasons, but where sporadically you have it full.
It used to be 18,000 guaranteed every night.
That's what you sold to the recruits.
Right. And I would also say, too, like...
Times changed.
You know, cost goes into it, right? To get down there and park and pay and food and family. Yeah. Like, for an opponent that is, you know, you're going to be a 16.5-point favorite against, like... there's the last night of the like that factor. It's these games are more widely available in the comfort of your own home than they were, you know,
17 years ago.
What we need in those renovations is a side arena.
A side arena, bro?
For the Tigers.
A side arena? Like a garage?
I'm looking at Brad because that situation that y'all got
in
Vegas with two that are connected.
Oh, Thomas and Mack, and I don't remember the other one, Brad. You got the
Mendenhall.
What is it?
Mendenhall.
Mendenhall.
They're connected.
I think it's Cox Pavilion, actually.
That's makes it so great for the summer league.
They have three facilities. Yeah,
he's talking about the Cox.
You're talking about Cox. They're not too.
And
UNLV. It's a little different.
You understand what I'm saying? We build a little 10,000 seat.
Cox only holds 2,400.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how small. I mean, you're talking about.
I didn't realize it's that tiny.
Are you a subscriber to the Carson plan that they should play in the El Marrone Fieldhouse?
No. I stand by that.
Brad is very proud of that one.
Yeah, he's got an honest
I stand
right
by
now.
That take.
He has an army. He has an army that could fill El Marrone
Fieldhouse. I think you guys could fill it. I do. I think you could fill El Marrone and pack it out and it'll look like Duke.
Yeah. It'll look just like Duke.
I used to have
it. Will be a full arena with students.
It's like a high
it'll
school
be like, It'll be like that Arkansas video with Silverfield. There'll be students in it, too.
They should just play at White Station. They should just play at the Spartan Palace.
How many does the Spartan Palace fit?
It's
1,000, right?
I think it holds maybe a little more since the renovation.
I think they could fill that.
Yeah. I'd have to see.
Guys are disrespectful.
No, I think filling arenas is important.
Yeah, and that's why we should go to DeSoto.
I don't think you need to go to DeSoto. Yeah. Donnie, I disagree with that. We got
to
stay in.
Well, it's the University of Memphis. Yeah, you don't play games in Mississippi. I mean, let's
disagree with that.
I mean, I think people are
Hustle do it all the time. They're the Memphis Hustle when they play in Mississippi.
That is true. That is true.
They actually just got. I just got the press release. I don't know if you heard it. They're now called the Mid-South Hustle.
Nah.
They just rebranded
again. In terms of actual seats, that's what we need.
That is false, by the way.
You guys talking about El Marrone? So and John, you're.
El Marrone.
I do not subscribe to that.
Hey, yeah, we could do it on.
You encouraged 10,000. Him, though, with it.
Well, you said the whole side building with the damn shed.
And it isn't a joke. That's the thing. Well, it's literally not a joke. That is not hyperbole.
You have to have 10,000 because you're going to have SEC games and non-conference games and things like that. It's not that damn bad.
Well, like Duke, what's Duke fit? 12,000?
I think it's less than that. It's like 9, 10.
When are y'all going to build it right next to the bank and demolish the Coliseum and rebuild us a new one?
Never.
It's closer. Why?
9,314 seats for Cameron Indoor.
Good size.
But again, that's like a historic thing, too. That's why they won't touch it. It's like, this was built in 1940, and it's got all the history, and we're not going to turn this into
I thought it was the asbestos, and it's $10 million to knock it down or something. This is why we're so
well,
slow.
Well, I was talking about the Cameron Indoor.
Oh,
you're talking
Cameron.
About
excuse me. But yes, I'm on Coliseum.
Same thing, though. I mean, people have nostalgia about that, so they won't.
That's what we need.
That's where they should play. They should just do that again.
It's right next to where you play the football games now.
Very sensible.
What are we talking about here?
I do think.
I mean, that's what needs to happen.
I think the fact that, yes, you're asking people to go downtown for both basketball teams. So choices have to get made about going downtown.
Right, and you need a smaller venue.
If you ask people to go to Midtown for one and downtown for the other, I think different calculations will be made. They made a short-term decision, it feels like, when they opened the Forum and whenever it was. They thought that this would be like this forever with Tiger basketball. Woohoo! And obviously, it ain't. I guess they shared the building at the Pyramid. But that was mostly a Tiger facility for the majority of the time, right? Yeah. So I think that was a mistake. I think that you would look back and you would say that agreeing to share the building with the Grizzlies for the Tiger basketball program was a mistake. Like somebody suggested it last night, do like what, a lot of college basketball teams do, have a home venue, and then you play in the Forum like four times a year as part of a special thing,
There you go.
As part of like, I think St. John, like when the St. John's plays in the Garden, right? It's like that. You do it like that. You don't play every single game in the Garden. But again, I don't think we're going to fix this all today. Memphis beat New Orleans last night, 86-70, and all y'all want to talk about is El Marrone. I think y'all should be ashamed.
Yeah, have some respect for this program's history.
14 points in the net.
What we've accomplished here.
Yeah.
Let's don't look at the last 16 years.
Right.
And say that's who they are.
Well, and look, I understand that, right? I mean, I understand. If you didn't live in Memphis and you didn't grow up in Memphis, and you just see what Memphis is, like I'm talking about Brad's perspective, right? He's like put him in the Kirby High School gym, right? Like Brad can't believe how we talk about Memphis, although he should because he's a UNLV fan.
You were talking about brands that are faded.
And no disagreement.
You know?
Zero disagreement.
And I don't know where I don't know how many Thomas and Mack holds. I don't know, you know, what their situation is, but I assume they're struggling with
it
as well.
It's the same. They actually should play in Cox.
I mean, it's
the exact same philosophy.
I mean, I think college basketball as a whole is like if you go down the list of
it's tough, bro.
Yeah. I mean it's I think it wears on people the transfer portal.
Now I think you're getting to it.
You know, it's a sport-wide situation.
I also don't think the conference is even like the total game changer that y'all think it is.
Oh, I think it's absolutely
the power structure. It's automatic shot in the arm.
I think you'd be surprised. It won't be your Hail Mary.
Absolute drag.
Because again, Brad, then you're getting the quad one and quad two opportunities that you don't get now. It's just and
you're
it puts you in a completely different
space. So Saturday they play Baylor.
Correct. Yeah.
How many people will be there?
I mean, I think just hoping to get announced 10. It would be my guess.
There you go.
You know, but that's more of an indictment of just the compounding.
You have to factor in where it is on that. It's not. It's you know,
like let's just say I could wave a magic wand and Memphis is in the not even Big East, Big 12, and instead of playing FAU and Tulsa and Tulane, I now get to host Houston again. And the last time Houston was here, it was an announced crowd of 17,000. Right, I mean, and that's because they were a relevant team. They were top five in the country. You know, I 100% believe that if you replaced, and that's the problem. Every single game you play at home from January to March is going to be a slappy. It's just a joke of a program, right? They don't invest in basketball. They're not ranked. They're not a quad one opportunity for you. They are absolutely nothing historically. So now I replace those games with Houston comes in again, and Cincinnati comes in again, and Kansas comes in again. And there's tons of Big 12 teams that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but would still be name recognition, name value, tournament teams.
Many of them ranked.
You know, I do think that would absolutely – would it be the end-all, be-all? I don't think it would be the end-all, be-all because you need to be successful.
That'd be good.
But I think there would be more of an urgency to do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, you'd have more money.
Yeah.
Do I think Memphis basketball would be better if they had more money? Yes, because they have been. They were a 5 seed last year. They won 29 games when they had a top 10, top 20 budget. Now they don't, and they're not. I mean, honestly, it is dollars and cents at this point in college sports. And when you are lacking, you're going to fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth of it. And so that's the part of it that's where the conference does hurt you. Because not only is it lack of matchups with juice, it's money. It's money that you are not making.
Right.
As a result of your television deal, as a result of the distribution. Think about all the NCAA tournament units that the Big East gets, that the Big 12 gets, that the SEC gets. They are absolutely, they are drowning in money. Yeah. And Memphis and the American is just drowning. So that's the difference. All right. Brad wants us to take a break. Beat him into submission.
Can you get off your soapbox for a couple of seconds?
Yes. But Brad wants us to take a break, so we'll do that. And then Bill Dendor is going to join us at 125. He's still holding on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.